Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Service. Today we'll be talking about service and how service is a vital, integral part of your growth and your maturity as an individual, but also as a follower of Jesus Christ. Just a heads up, towards the end of the service, we get to receive a double portion of Jesus Christ's grace. You will receive the Holy Supper, the Holy Communion. So therefore, if you haven't prepared the elements, the bread and the wine, please do so at this time. Here's my introduction. Have you served as a volunteer in the past? Was it because you wanted to contribute to the cause of that organization? It was a worthy cause of your time and your talents? Or did you volunteer because you wanted a reference? That's what I did when I was in the university many years ago. I volunteered at the university hospital so that I may put on my application resume to the graduate school that I served. Not a really good reason for serving, don't you think? Or maybe you just volunteered because you thought it would make you feel good. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oftentimes I come to a traffic light and there's someone asking for help, and if I don't give, I feel guilty, so I may be more open to giving, because if I did give, I may feel good about myself. Here's my point. Not only is serving is important, what's even more important is that we serve for the right reasons. Another question for you. Did you used to serve as a volunteer in an organization or in a church, but you don't anymore? Is it because you didn't know how to serve better? Maybe it was a bad mix. Some of you are saying, yep, that happened to me once. My pastor made us feel guilty because they didn't have enough Sunday school teachers, so I volunteered. But here's what happened. I don't have the gift of teaching. Worse yet, I hate kids. So what ended up happening was, kids didn't like it. I didn't like it. It was an awful experience. Some of you used to serve, but you don't anymore because you're burnt out. You serve too often, too much, and there's no more joy in serving. Some of you didn't know how to contribute. You didn't know your spiritual gifts. You didn't know your talents. So you simply sat in the pews, so to speak. Some of you, let's be honest, you don't serve because you have no desire. You simply don't care. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm not. But I just want to point out, hey, serving is a vitally important part of our personal growth as human beings. At the same time, it is a necessary ingredient for the disciples of Jesus Christ, the followers of Jesus Christ, to grow in our journey. Because Mosaic House Church is all about loving Jesus, because He loved us and He loves us, so we love Him back. And because we love Jesus, we love our friends, neighbors, and our city and our world. And because we love our neighbors, we get to tell them about Jesus. We make disciples of Jesus, who make disciples, who make disciples. I may not know all of you, but in this room, there are four types of us. First type, seeker. Second, believer. Third, worker. Four, multiplier. Seeker is someone who is on a journey. We are all on a journey, but we all start with the place of the seeker. You are thirsty, you are hungry for something more in your life, and you don't even know what that is. Seeker is someone who says, I'm not sure about Jesus Christ, but I feel drawn to His character, His teachings. I'm not convinced that He is who He says He is, but I am curious about Him. The believer is someone who crossed the line of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ took hold of you and said, come and believe. Not just come and see as a seeker. Now, come and believe. Believe. Now, believer therefore grows in the spiritual disciplines by praying, by reading the Bible, by belonging in a local church, right? But the believer is growing, growing, growing. But then Jesus says, don't stay in that chair of simply being a believer, just growing your faith on yourself, by yourself, for yourself, but move to the next phase, which is the worker. Worker is the person to whom Jesus says, come and serve, come and serve. And the fourth chair is the multiplier. Jesus says, now you've gone from the seeker, the believer, the worker, and now I want you to go and multiply, bear much, much fruit. Today we're going to focus about the third chair, worker. We grow from the believer seat, and we go into, move into the worker chair by serving. We are no longer just concerned about our own spiritual growth. We are concerned about helping others, edifying others, serving others. So let's get to it. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. So here is the word of the Lord. Now, my job, my contribution, my gift is to encourage you, but also teach and empower, train you, so that you may become more mature. And that's why I am encouraging all of you to obtain a copy of the sermon note from the resources tab, because when you use that sermon notes, you retain better, you hear better, and you learn better. And also look for the keywords. In this passage, you'll find at least two keywords, keywords that appear time after time. And those keywords are grace and gifts. Are you ready to receive the word of the Lord? Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, listen to that, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve accordance with your faith. If it is teaching, then teach in accordance with your faith. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement in accordance with your faith. If it is giving, then give generously in accordance with your faith. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here's the main idea, the theme and the goal is this. Live your life as a living sacrifice. Live your life as what? A living sacrifice. Live to the full extent, to the full potential, your life as what? As a living sacrifice. Now, here's the roadmap. I want to share the remaining time answering the following three questions. What is the living sacrifice? Why should we live our lives as a living sacrifice? And thirdly, how should we live our lives as a living sacrifice? Okay, so what is a living sacrifice? In the Bible, sacrifice is one of the key concepts, doctrines, theologies. When I sin against the holy God, when I rebel against Him, in order for Him to forgive and remove my sin so that I may be with Him, because the sin stands in the way, you see? And the way God removes the sin is by having me offer an animal sacrifice. And the idea is this. You take a perfect animal, a lamb, for example, and you bring it to a priest, and the priest would slaughter it, kill it. And the death of the sacrifice, the animal, is atoning my sin, removing my sins away. So right there, you are asking the question, hang on here. That's kind of oxymoron, isn't it? How do I live my life as a living, not dead, not killed, not slaughtered, not offered up, but as a living sacrifice? Thank you for raising that question. It does sound like an oxymoron. In fact, it really is, if you don't understand it. Like, what's an oxymoron? Two words being brought together, bound together, with contradicting meanings, like jumbo shrimp, like working vacation, like short sermons. Back to the text. Here's the clue. Chapter 12 starts with the word therefore, right? I learned this from Rick Warren. He said, when you come to the word therefore in the Bible, you've got to know what it's there for. That is to say, in order for us to unpack the meaning of living sacrifice, we got to know the word therefore, why it's there for. And the way we do that is by going backwards. The word therefore is a transitional word, isn't it? So here's what happened. Here's what took place between chapters 1 through 11 before we come to the word therefore in the 12th chapter. Let me summarize the chapters 1 through 11. The book of Romans is a very logical, intellectual book. The Apostle Paul, who is the author, he is logically, rationally, and intellectually laying the ground for the grace of Jesus Christ. Here's the summary of it. Romans says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned, and we have all turned away from God, and we rebelled against God. We edged God out, and we said, we don't want to love you, we don't want to serve you, we want to be our own God. We edged God out. And the book of Romans says, the wages of sin, when we sin against God in our rebellion, the wages, the punishment, the penalty, what we deserve is death. Wages of sin is death. But God, in His mercy and grace, He finds a way for us. No one is righteous, not one. Meaning, none of us can make our way back to God. We cannot make ourselves right with God in our own effort. You may be an immoral person. You may be a moral person. You may be an unethical person. You may be an ethical person. None of us can, in our own might, in our attempt to make ourselves right with God. But here's the good news. The good news is this. There is the righteousness from God through which we are saved in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our sacrificial lamb. He took our place. He died in my place. He placed himself on the altar of sacrifice. And he said, Victor, you deserve death, but I love you and I want to give you life, and therefore I am taking your place. I die for you. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave me his new life. And that's what it means. Live as a living sacrifice. I don't live for myself anymore. This is the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul saying again, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the meaning of living your life as a living sacrifice. You live for Jesus. And you are always, always offering yourself as a living sacrifice, as in, Lord Jesus, I no longer live, but you live. And I live in the life that you give to me, and therefore, I am a living sacrifice. Second question. Why should you live your life as a living sacrifice? Let's get to it. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts by saying, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? That is the clue. In view of God's mercy. Now, when I was preparing for this, I asked this question, that's interesting. If I were the Apostle Paul, I would have written, in view of God's grace, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? But instead, he chose a very peculiar word, uncommon word. It's the word mercy, a different form of the word mercy in the Greek language. This word in Greek, in the New Testament, occurs only 5 times. That's it. Here's what it means. It means a visceral compassion. In view of God's visceral, emotive, experiential compassion, deep feelings for you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. The Apostle Paul is not appealing to your intellectual mind here. He's appealing to your heart. He says, I urge you. He could have easily said, I command you, but he doesn't. He says, I'm urging you. I am appealing to you. Consider God's visceral compassion for you. Think about the depth and the width of God's compassion, his mercies. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose I have lived my whole life in such a way that I damaged, abused my heart. As in, every morning I had 10 strips of bacon, and every lunch I had 5 cheeseburgers, and every night I had steak. And in addition to all that unhealthy diet, I drank excessively, and I smoked, and I did not exercise, and my heart was failing. And doctor said, Victor, if you don't get a new heart transplant, you are going to die. And Jesus comes along, who lived a clean life. He took care of himself and his heart. And he says, I want to offer my heart to Victor so that he may live. And he does so, and by so doing, he dies. And I live. Now, would the doctor say to me, Victor, you are alive because of Jesus offered his heart. Now, remember, you must live a worthy life of his grace. He wouldn't have to say that to me, would he? I would know that. You would know that. You and I would be so indebted to Jesus Christ for giving us his heart at the expense of his own death. We would, in view of his visceral compassion, we will be willing and able to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? This is your true and proper worship. the Apostle Paul writes. It's a fitting response. It's an act of worship. When we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, it's proper, it's true, and it's a fitting worship. Worship is what we do to the worthy of Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our dedication. You see? So, we know what is living sacrifice. We know why we should live our lives as a living sacrifice. And third, then how should you live your life as a living sacrifice? Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. How should you live your life as a living sacrifice? Number one, by serving with your gifts. By serving with your gifts. What were the key words in this passage as we read God's word? Grace and gift. Grace in the Greek language is charis. Gifts, the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to you, is charisma, from which we get the word charisma. Exactly. Interesting word. We live our life as a living sacrifice by serving others with our charisma. Charisma. When someone says to you, you are charismatic, in the Bible context, it means you are full of God's grace of gift. Grace of gift. That sounds redundant, but that's for emphasis. God has given you grace for your salvation. He is giving you another grace by giving you charisma, gifts, talents, endowment, so that you may serve others. Is your gift to prophesy? Which means not foretelling of the future, but forthtelling of God's spoken word already. Okay? Then prophesy. Speak the word of God. Is your gift teaching? And I pray to God that God has given me the gift so that you may be trained, edified, and encouraged and challenged. Then Jesus says, serve. Serve others with your charisma, your gift, grace, gift. Is it serving? Then serve. Is it giving? Give generously. If it's leading, then lead. Did you catch that? Leadership is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And if you have received it, your job is to lead. Because when you lead, you are serving. Now, friends, let me make this important observation. All these charisma gifts, grace of gift, are to be used in the context of making disciples, moving people from the seeker chair through the believer chair through the worker chair to the multiplier chair. Jesus never said, go and plant churches. But you know what he did say? Matthew 28, go and make disciples. So the disciples of Jesus Christ went. And if you read Acts, the book of Acts, correctly and properly, when they went to make disciples, guess what they did? They planted churches. In other words, church's mission is to make disciples. Church exists. The Church of Christ is in the business of making disciples. So all these gifts are being utilized. And I'm investing my gift. You're investing your charisma for the purpose of making disciples, moving people from all those four chairs. Second way, how do we use these gifts? How do we live our lives as a living sacrifice? By belonging to the body of Christ. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to what? Belongs to all the others. Here's how you know that you are a mature follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. You serve, and you serve because you recognize that you don't belong to yourself, you belong to all the others, to the body of Jesus Christ, the local church. Are you that person? Can you say that you belong to the body? I wonder if any one of you suffers from PCC. You say, what's PCC? Privatized, consumeristic Christianity. Privatized. Do you ever say, hey, my faith is between God and me? You have bought into the privatization of our world. You are being shaped by the pattern of this world. And Jesus says, do not be conformed, do not be fashioned by the patterns of this world. Do you ever say, I don't need church to have my faith in Jesus Christ? Again, you are privatizing your faith. Listen to me, your faith is always personal, but never private, because it is given to the body of Christ. It belongs, you belong to the body of Christ. Consumeristic. Have you bought into the consumeristic mentality of our culture? As in, hey, Save-On food store exists for me. It meets my needs and wants. Sobeys exists for my wants and my needs. And I just go to whoever gives me better service. Listen, friends, church does not exist for your spiritual needs and wants. It exists for the glory of Jesus Christ. It exists for the mission of Jesus Christ, which is making disciples. Third way, I'll be quick, by humbling yourself to the grace of Jesus Christ. By humbling yourself to the grace of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. The Apostle Paul keeps saying, in accordance with your faith, in accordance with the grace given me, I say to you, examine your heart. Examine your heart. Will you humble yourself by saying to Jesus, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, and therefore I belong with you. And since I belong with you, I belong with the body, and therefore I am here to serve the body, edify the body, support the body, encourage the body, lead the body, teach the body, prophesy to the body, so that we may together make disciples. The theme and the goal is for you to live your life as a living sacrifice. In which chair are you sitting today? The seeker, the believer, the worker, multiplier? It doesn't matter where you are, because Jesus meets you wherever you are. But Jesus Christ, in His grace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, He desires that you grow and mature. So, to the seeker, come and see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will enable you to say, come and believe in Jesus and grow in your faith. But as you grow, you become an adolescent, but you don't want to stay there. You want to grow mature by what? By serving. It's when you serve, you become mature. I received a text last week from a young couple in Mosaic House Church. The man used to serve in the sound booth, in the visual ministry, when we used to gather in person. Okay? The wife used to teach and serve in the praise team. They said, here, in the text, we miss getting involved through volunteer ministry work, but we are still self-isolating. Do you have any volunteer position online? Way to go. They get it. Enjoy, with joy, with gratitude. They are living their lives as a living sacrifice. So friends, how should you use your charisma today? If you used to serve when we were meeting in person, whatever you serve in the capacity, we can use your gifts, your charisma, virtually online, remotely right now. So please contact me. On the note, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you 1 minute to reflect and write down your own application. How should you live your life as a living sacrifice by serving your gifts for the body of Christ in the mission of Jesus Christ? Okay? Take 1 minute. You can talk to the person right next to you now. You can write on the chat button in our webpage, or you can write in the sermon outline. I'll give you one minute, and after you come back, we will conclude with a prayer. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your visceral compassion, your unending mercies. And therefore, it is only fitting, proper, and true that we serve you, we live our lives as a living sacrifice. Be glorified and use our gifts, our charisma, to lead people to Jesus and make disciples. In your name we pray. Amen.